All right, Rabbosai, good morning. Good morning. Let us begin by thanking all of our sponsors for this morning's year. To thank our Talmud Torah sponsor for the month of Nisan HaBa'alin L'Tova, Sa'id and Simahikin, to show the Hakara Satov to Hashem for all of his Nisim and Niflaos. May HaKadosh Baruch Hu redeem all of the hostages and bring complete Hatzlacha to Eretz Yisrael and to Am Yisrael. To thank our week of learning sponsors, Paul and Kathy Pollack, in memory of Paul's father, Shmuel ben Zachariah, and great-grandmother, Cyril Bas Dov. We hope that in the merit of our Talmud Torah, all of the Neshamos Lahavin Aliyah, the families in Nechama, each and every one of our hostages will come home b'shalom and b'karov, and our soldiers will be successful b'chol ma'aseh yedehem. So with that, let us begin. We also take the opportunity to wish a mazel tov to Adam David Edelman on the occasion of the marriage of his daughter tonight. B'sha'at tova umitz. Right, it's tonight. Why don't you give me that look? Give me that look. Like, okay, just making sure, right? Mazel tov, mazel tov, zilchem meretz Hashem, to walk your daughter down to the chuppah b'shah tov mitzlachas and see her build a bayis neman b'yisra ad mea ve'esim shanim tovos. Mazel tov, mazel tov. Rabbosai, with that, let us begin. Today's daf is Mem Gimel 43. And we are picking up, we have just a little bit of Mem Beis on the Beis to finish up. We left off Hahu Gavra, which is 2, 4, 6, 8, 10, 12 lines up at the bottom. So let's remember again, we're dealing with just a number of these cases where liability just doesn't appear to be immediately clear. So the Gemara says as follows. Sorry, let me just switch over here. Okay, so Gemara says as follows. Hahu Gavra, there was an individual. Da'afkid kishusa gavi chavre. So we'll say, here's what happened. I deposited hops. So kishusa literally hops with Ruvein. And what happened? So the Gemara says, nami and Ruvain had his own pile of hops. Okay, so what occurred? Amar le b'sarasei, mehai rami. So Ruvain tells his butler, his servant, says, do me a favor, make me some beer, make me beer, and make it from this pile. Now again, Ruvain's identifying his own pile. So he's saying to us again, so for everything that Ruvain is saying to his servant, make me beer from my pile of hops. So you can skip this. You know what's going to happen over here. The servant goes along and makes Ruvain beer from my pile of hops. Okay. So Amr of Amram, hechi nidainu dayoni lahaydina. So Rav Amram said, okay, what are we supposed to do in this case? So let's take this apart a little bit. So the Gemara says, name the day zil shlim. So ultimately, if we tell Ruvain, listen, you have to pay back silver because you took from silver's hops. So the Gemara says, Amra ana amri le Amra ana amri le mehai rami. So Ruvain says, I shouldn't be liable. I told my servant to take from my pile. In other words, so Ruvain is saying, as far as I'm concerned, I didn't do anything wrong. I explicitly instructed my servant to go ahead and take hops from my pile. So Emile the Sars is zil shlim. So this is very interesting. So okay, so we should just tell the servant. Tell the servant to go ahead and pay me back for the hops that he took. It's incredible. Amar lo amar le mehai rami umehai lo tirmi. It's very reminiscent sometimes of like conversations that one might have with their kids. Right? So in other words, the servant could say, well, you told me to take from here, but you didn't tell me not to take from here. Right? So the servant, from the servant's perspective, he's like, okay, Ruvain told me to take from here. I don't know, Ruvain's making it easier for me. He's just trying to be more specific. But take from here doesn't necessarily mean don't take from here. All right. Now, this is actually very interesting. However, if when Ruvain instructed his servant to go ahead and get the hops, so let's say, Ruvain's hops, just for argument's sake, would have taken a servant 1 minute, right? To get to my hops would have taken the servant 4 minutes. If it takes the servant 4 minutes, 5 minutes to get back, then Ruvain's got to be a chacham enough to know the servant's clearly not going to his hops, Ruvain's hops, he's going to my hops. And if Ruvain didn't say anything, that means Ruvain was complicit in the act of theft, or the act of misappropriation. And therefore, of course, Ruvain would be chayiv. Rashi says, "Gali daite te balavayis tenechale shari yada shemishal pikadon havi v'lo mishal biyado." So ultimately, again, if in other words, if it clearly took more time than it should have, then that's indicative that the servant took from the wrong pile. And if Reuven did not go ahead and articulate his displeasure with that, then clearly he's okay with the servant having misappropriated from my hops. Okay, so I'll say, but leaving that aside, so who's liable? To which the Gemara says, B'dalo Shah. Okay, we're talking about a case over here where time-wise, the servant executed the command within the window of time that it was reasonable for Reuven to think that he was fetching the hops from Reuven's own pile. Okay, so, my psidiga. Gemara says, I don't understand. What are we getting all worked up over here? At the end of the day, I, the owner of the deposited hops, didn't really suffer a loss. Why? V'hak, so the Gemara says, what is the big deal over here, right? Let Reuven. So Reuven ended up using my hops. So what's the big deal? We just said before, Reuven has his own pile of hops. It's a very simple remedy. What's the simple remedy? Let Reuven take from his hops and replenish my pile. What? I don't understand. Like why? Why? Why is there such a shayla over here? To which the Gemara says, "Amar Rav Sama Bari Drava Dhavishichra Chala." Because we'll say the issue over here is that it turns out. So remember again. In this case, it turns out that Reuven's servant ended up taking from my hops, made the beer, and it turned out the beer was bad. The beer was bad, which means that my hops were of inferior quality. So the Maisef, my hops were inferior quality. Reuven's hops are more superior quality. Reuven doesn't necessarily want to go ahead and replenish my hops with his hops. Look at Rashi. Chala hichmitz. Literally, again, the beer turned to vinegar. It was inferior beer. Or the other possibility, Rav Ashi Amar Bikisi. Rav Ashi says, it turns out that the hops that I deposited with Reuven were hops that were mixed with thorns. Again, it's the same answer, just a different illustration. Inferior grade hops. So therefore, again, Abosai, Allah Lamaiso, Reuven doesn't want to necessarily replenish my hops with his hops because he has a superior hop. Hop, I don't know if that's right. He has superior hops. So, tap on Mem Gimel, therefore the Gemara says, you're right, Umeshalimei Dmekisi. Shavuot says, so ultimately, the way this case really works out is, Reuven is going to be liable, right? But Halacha L'maisa, his liability is capped at the value of inferior hops, which again, essentially is what he took, inadvertently, what he took, but Halacha L'maisa, again, he would be chayiv to go ahead and replenish the amount of inferior hops. Incredible, good. So we'll say that brings an end to that sugyan. Now, a very interesting Mishnah. Hamafkin ma'os eitzol shulchani. A person, I deposit money with the shulchani. Remember again, a shulchani is a money changer. So just understand what's happening over here. I'm depositing money with a money changer. So what's the halacha? So the Gemara says, im tsururin lo yishtamish bahen. So if I give them, so we'll say, the assumption over here is, well, in other words, what's driving this Mishnah? I'm depositing money with someone who exchanges money for a living. So obviously the question is going to become, can the Shulchani utilize the deposited money for the duration of the deposit for his own business purposes, recognizing he's going to have to pay me back at the end of the duration of the deposit, but is he allowed to use the money? So once I said, the Gemara says, it depends. Im tsururin, if the money, I will say now, tsururin literally means piled. Now, or bundled. We'll discuss exactly what this means in the Gemara, but if the money is bundled, right, bundled, piled, lo yishtamish ben, then the shulchani, the money changer, cannot use it. L'fichach, therefore, because he can't use it, im avdu eino chai ba'achri yusan. So Rabbi says, so remember again, it's interesting. Because he can't use it, therefore, if it's lost, the shulchani is not chayiv, is not liable. Why not, Rabbi says? Because if he can't use it, he's effectively a shomer chinam. If he's a shomer chinam and unpaid custodian, then he is pater for gneva va'aveda. Okay, fine, they go hand in hand. So the Gemara says, mutarin. The mutarin means if I deposited loose money. I don't know, I brought a handful of money and I gave it to the shulchani and I said to him, please watch this, that's called loose money. Then yishtai mishpan. Then the shulchani, the money changer, is permitted to utilize the money for his own commercial purposes. L'fichach, therefore also because he's allowed to use it, l'fichach, im avdu chai bachri yusin. Therefore, because he is permitted to use it, so therefore what Rabbi says, it sounds like he's a shomer sacher. Because he's a shomer sacher, ultimately again, or I take that back. It's not clear what he is. Is he a shoel? Does that mean he's a borrower? Is he a shomer sachar? Is he a paid custodian? So again, we'll see that. But either way, because he has the right of usage, therefore he has liability should something happen to that money. Okay, that's case one. So case one, I want to say deals with the money changer. Case two, etzel balabayis. But if I deposit money with a stam balabayis, well, say, what's a balabayis? Balabayis is a regular guy. I deposit money with a regular guy. So the halacha is bein tsururin, bein mutarin, bein lo yishtamish bahen. So I will say in that case, whether the money is bundled or whether the money is loose, a balabayis, a regular guy, in general, just the halacha is, if someone deposits an object by you, you do not have a right to use that object. I am a custodian. I'm there to watch it. I have no rights of usage. Rights of usage, I will say, are worked out separately. That's you're a shoel, you're a borrower. But again, in general, when you're watching something, you have no right to use it. So therefore, again, the Gemara is only bringing this up in the context of a shulchani, a money changer, because since his whole parnasa is exchanging money, I have to understand that if I'm depositing it with him, am I allowing him to use it, not allowing him to use it? But in stomach case, I deposit money with a balabais, with a balabas, a regular guy, he can't use the money, right? And it doesn't matter how I deliver the money. Bundled, loose, it doesn't make a difference. Therefore, the fichach, im avdu einu chai b'achri yusin. So we'll say, because the balabais doesn't have the right to go ahead and utilize the money, therefore, halacha l'maisa, he doesn't have liability for it. And therefore, if it's lost or stolen, he's not liable. Chen v'ni, we'll say, what about a shopkeeper? I deposit money with a shopkeeper. So what's the halacha? Kibalabayis Rameir. Rameir says that a shopkeeper is like a balabas. And therefore, again, just like the balabas can't use the money, shopkeeper can't use the money as well. Rabbi Huda says, Chen v'ni kishulchani. Rabbi Huda says, no. A shopkeeper is like a money changer. People say, why would a shopkeeper be like a money changer? Why would that be? Because a shopkeeper also always needs change. In other words, the common denominator between a shopkeeper and a money changer is that they both need constant access to funds. Okay, so we'll say that's our mission. Now let's analyze a bit. So let's focus on, just looking, I will say, I think it's very beautiful. Just you should know, for the Zoom chevra, I think Baruch Hashem, if not most of the Zoom chevra is Eretz Yisrael. It's a big zuchos, Baruch Hashem. Really a big zuchos that we get to give. We get to, if we can't be in Eretz Yisrael, at least we get to have shir in Eretz Yisrael. Incredible, wonderful. All right. Beautiful. Thank you. Zoom chevra from Eretz Yisrael. It's good to learn with you. So Gemara says as follows. So mishum tsururin lo yishnam b'shven. The Gemara says, I don't understand. Let's go back to the Chen v'ni case. Right? Let's go back to the Chen v'ni case. The Chen v'ni case ultimately again is, sorry, the Shulchani case. I'm depositing money with a money changer. Shabbos say, can the money changer use the money? Let's just go through this. Can the money changer use the money? It depends. Good. An interrogative, right? Is it bundled? So again, I'll say, so it depends. If it's bundled, no. If it's loose, yes. So the Gemara says, I don't understand the bundled thing. Because the money is bundled, you can't use it. I don't understand what that means. I just want to point out, generally, the way you would deposit money with someone is how, in some type of seder, bepashtus, I'm not walking in with like a handful of money and plopping it down on someone's table. So bepashtus, the money is organized in some fashion. So what's going on over here? So because it's bundled, so the shulchan he can't use it. So this will say, I'm Ravasi, I'm Rav Yehuda, bitzrurin v'chasumin shanu. No. It's bundled, but I will say but it's packaged. So really, it means bundled and packaged with a seal. So we'll say, so b'derech klal, somebody gives you something that is bundled and a package with a seal and says, watch this. Generally, the unwritten part of those instructions are, and don't open it up, right? And leave it alone. So we'll say that's the case. So Ramari says, b'kesher meshuna. So ultimately, again, I deposited the money to Reuven and it was tied up, but it had a unique type of knot. Unique type of knot. So I will say, what does a unique type of knot usually show? That somebody doesn't want to tamper with. So the idea over here is in all of these cases, I'm giving over the money to the Shulchani. And halacha lemaisa, it's clear that I don't want the money to be used. Ikat the army, others explain. I will say, okay, so on this last piece, Other Shemit has a question. Ramari asked, if you deliver it and the money is tied with a unique type of knot, what's the halacha? Can the Shulchan use it or not? And in this version, the Gemara says, teku. So teku, we have to leave it. I will say, it's also fascinating. It's all fascinating. How could all of, right? There's a much easier way to address all of this. What's the much easier way to address all of this? Right? Just tell him. I will say, we've seen this before, right? The ambiguity only comes up because you're not explicit about what it is that you want. Right? If I go over to her and I say, Ruvain, I'm depositing the money with you, don't use it. Don't use it. So obviously these cases are coming up because there's a lack of explicit, direct dialogue. I will say, we mentioned this many times before, an important message and an important metaphor in life. So often in life, we get ourselves into relationship trouble because we're not direct and we don't converse. So sometimes we're so uncomfortable having uncomfortable conversations. Right? We're so uncomfortable having uncomfortable conversations. So what do? Like, we kind of work around things. And what we don't realize is it leaves other people in the relationship feeling they don't understand the ambiguity. What do I mean? What am I saying? This happens in marriage all of the time. This happens with children all of the time, with parents all of the time, with friends. And I will say, sometimes the Musar Haskel of these Gemaras are, just say it. Just say it. Sometimes having uncomfortable conversations leads to hurt feelings. That's why you have to be careful how you frame it, be careful how you say it. But the great part about having uncomfortable conversations is you dispel the ambiguity. And when you're able to dispel the ambiguity, then you're really able to move relationships forward. Otherwise, the relationships remove shrouded in that fog of ambiguity, and often the parties to that relationship are paralyzed from moving the relationship forward. Incredible, incredible. So Limar goes weiter. I will say, you know, by the way, you know where you see this? You see this even just like in current events. I don't know, sometimes like it's hard to know what reality is when you just listen to the news or you just read the news, right? Because obviously the job of any good news outlet is what? To keep you reading. And the best way to keep you reading is to make it look like the sky is falling and that people are like at each other's throats. So you know what I'll say? Like, it's incredible, even when you look at the words that come from the president. So you'll see one headline that says, you know, the alliance is ironclad. And then another headline that says, if more aid doesn't get in, then this. And meanwhile, you just wonder, like, I don't know, like, why? So why just doesn't the president just get up and just say it? I don't know what it is, but whatever it is, 30-second press conference, just want to dispel all of the... we're not making any jokes, all right? Just dispel all of the ambiguity. Just dispel all the... We'll say, by the way, I'll just also tell you, it's important. You can make whatever a person says... A person doesn't become the leader of the free world without being chosen by the Ribono Shel Olam. I just want to point that out, which is why the office requires deference and the offers. I tell you, it drives me a little bit nutty whenever people speak disparage. You could disagree with policies, right? You could disagree with many things, but you can't. It is impossible to rise to that level of power and influence without being handpicked by the Ribono Shel Olam. It's impossible. I mean, it's impossible, like, to get in your car and to make it to work without the Ashkach of the Ribono Shel Olam. Yeah. Right? Allah has come. So just we'll say, but I don't want to get into politics, but Lamaisa, you think to yourself, just say it. Whatever it is, whatever you really feel, don't let other people kind of infer what your position. Just say it. Anyway, we're going to focus on that. But again, in our own personal lives, dispel relationship ambiguity with direct conversation. Let's go back there. So the Gemara says, if the money is loose, ultimately, again, you could utilize it. So Amrafuna Vafilu Nansu. So Rafuna says, I'm sorry, Amrafuna says statement. Amrafuna Vafilu Nansu. Now both say, now remember again, Saloch Alamais, what did the Mishnah say? If I gave the Shulchani loose money, right? So what's the halacha? He is permitted to go ahead and use it. So because he's permitted to use it, therefore the halacha is, if it's lost or stolen, he's chayiv. Comes along Rav Huna says, by the way, it's not just lost and stolen. It's even if some type of ones, even if some type of extenuating circumstance occurred, halacha l'maisa, Ruvain is chayiv. Look at Rashi. Vafilu Nansu is the second short line. Vafilu Nansu, Ka'amar Masnisin, Dechai Bachriyusan, Vafilu Lon Ishtamish Bahen, Temehashta Have Shoel Alayu. Okay. So I'm going to say, this is very dramatic. So watch this. Watch what Rav Huna is saying. I go over to Reuven. I say, Reuven is a shulchan. He's a money changer. I give Reuven loose money. Which I'm going to say, it's just to come with a handful of money. I put it down Reuven. I say, Reuven, watch this for me. What's the halacha? What's the halacha? What's Reuven's relationship to that money? He's allowed to use it. Now, Rav Huna says, by the way, because he is allowed to use it, therefore, again, he is a shoel. He's a borrower. Because he is a borrower, what's the halacha of a borrower? Chayiv for everything. Chayiv, I mean, there's an exception of Baal of Imor, Meis Malach, but leaving that aside. Right, he's chayiv for onsin. He's chayiv even for extenuating circumstances. Now, Bosse, what Rav Huna says is, therefore, Reuven is a shoel. Now, Bosse, here's incredible. And when is Reuven a shoel? At what point does he become a shoel? The moment I put the money down on his table, even before he ever uses the money. Now, you understand what just happened over here? I would have thought like this. When does Reuven become a borrower on loose money? When does he become a borrower? When he uses it. I would have thought, listen, let's say there's a narrative over here or where Reuven says, you know, I don't need your money. I don't need your money. Right? So in other words, as far as Reuven is concerned, he'll watch it. He's happy to. But he's not interested in using it. So because I would have thought like this. If he's not going to use it, he's a shom chinam. But if he uses it, he's a shom. Reuven says, no. That's not how it works. You give a money changer loose money. He is a shoel from the moment he accepts that money into his possession, even if he never uses it. And because of that, he is chayiv even for onsim from the beginning. That's dramatic. The Gemara says, one second, v'ha avdu katani, but the Mishnah doesn't talk about onsim. The Mishnah only talks about the money being lost. Kid rabba, the Amar rabba, nignevu balistin mezuyin, that sometimes when the Mishnah talks about nignevu, nignevu could mean it was stolen by armed robbers. Avdu shatavus nasayam, or being lost means the boat was sunk at sea. The boat sunk at sea, which I both say are cases of ones. So in other words, sometimes even when the Mishnah uses the lashon of lost, lost could also refer to ones. So I both say that's the position of Rav Huna. Rav Nachman says no. Nansu lo. Rav Nachman disagrees, and he holds that Alocha Lamaisa, Reuven is not chayiv for onis, for extending the circumstances. Now, both say, now look at Rashi, Nensu lo, Kozman Shalon Ishtamesh, lo havi shol, ela avdu davka, chayiv kishom sachar. Okay, so both say, now watch this. The machlokis Rav Huna and Rav Nachman is as follows. If Alocha Lamaisa, I give Reuven loose money, but Reuven never uses the money, he just watches it. Rav Huna will say, halacha lemaisa, because Reuven had the ability to use the money, he's a shoel. Because he's a shoel, he's chayiv even for onsin. Rav Nachman says, no. If Reuven doesn't use the money, we're going to see, he's a shomer sachar. He's a paid custodian. He's a paid custodian, but he's not a shoel. He only becomes a shoel when he actually uses the money. So this is the machlokes, ultimately, again, between Rav Huna and Rav Nachman. If you don't use the money, do you activate the identity of Shoel? Rav Huna says, yes, the moment you accept the loose money, you are a Shoel, even if you never use it. Therefore, Chayv Onsin, Rav Nachman, only a Shoel if you actively use it. Otherwise, you are a Shomer Sachar, a paid custodian. Now, why you are a paid custodian, a Shomer Sachar, as opposed to a Shomer Chinam, we'll see in just a moment. Amar li Rav or Rav Nachman. So Rav says, Rav Nachman, Lidi Dach the Amrit Nansulo. So Rav says, according to you, Rav Nachman, who holds that if Reuven never uses the money, therefore he is not a shoel, and therefore not chayiv for onsin, Alma lo havi shoel alayhu. He's not a shoel. So the Gemara says, Ish shoel lo havi, shomer sachar nami lo havi. But if he's not a shoel, then Rav Nachman, why are you treating him like a shomer sachar, like a paid custodian? Rav will say, What should he be? A shomer chinam. In other words, if Reuven is just watching money, and that's all he's doing, he's just watching it, he's not using it, so then he's a Shomer Chinam. As a Shomer Chinam, he should even be pater for Gneva Valide, even if it's lost or stolen. Amarlei, so listen to this, Rav Nachman says, Amarlei, Bahama Dina Lacha. So he says to him, I will agree to you with this, the Hoil Venena Mehena. So we'll say, because no, there is some level of Hana that Reuven gets from the money. What's the Hana that Reuven gets from the money? Bahu hana di'i misrami le'zivina di'is baravacha zabin bahu havyalayhu shomer sachar. See, Rav will say, here's what's interesting. Reuven is a shomer sachar, says Rav Nachman. I'll tell you why. I will say, let's go back for just a second. When I deposited loose money with Reuven, right? Reuven's the Shulchani. So what does that indicate? What does that indicate? What does loose money indicate? Right of usage. Shavuot said, what that means for Reuven is right now, even if Reuven doesn't have any intentions to use it, but if Reuven were to see some good merchandise or to see some deal, he would have the right to utilize my money to do that. So I will say, essentially what my money really represents to him, almost like Kiviyachai, I don't know if this is a good mashal, but I was thinking about it, like a line of credit. He has a line of credit that he could access whenever he wants. So I will say, that is a value. That is a benefit. Because that is a benefit, Reuven is willing to watch my money. That benefit makes him a Shomer Sacher. Incredible. That benefit makes him a Shomer Sacher. So therefore, I will say, so now again, I just want to point out, in Rav Huna's model, right of usage of the money makes Reuven a Shoel out of the gate. From the moment that I put the money down on the table and he accepts it, he's a Shoel. Rav Nachman says, no, he only becomes a Shoel if he actually uses the money. But yet, interestingly enough, he's a Shomer Sacher from the beginning, but what benefit is he getting? He's getting the benefit of a line of credit. He's getting the benefit, ultimately, again, that should he come across a deal, that's a good deal, he has the right to use my money. Incredible. Incredible. Esve Rav Nachman Rav Huna. So Rav Nachman is the Kashat Rav Huna. Amavkin Mos Eitzel Shulchani. So we'll say, so again, we saw before, that if Halacha L'maaseh, I go ahead and I deposit money with a money changer. If the money is bundled, as we saw before, you can't. So Reuven can't use the money. Lefichach, Nabos is a different price. Lefichach, im hotzi lo mala gizra. So we'll say, so now watch this. In this case, there's a little bit of a twist. The twist over here is I am the gizbar, right? I am the temple treasurer. What happens? I deposit hekdish money with Reuven. Now remember again, this is by accident. Or it could be intentional, but I don't have any intention for Reuven to use it. So right, so I deposit money, hekdish money, with Reuven the money changer. So we'll say, so what's talacha? If the money is bundled, so remember, as we saw in the Mishnah, if the money is bundled, whatever bundled mean like we saw before, if the money is bundled, then what? Reuven has no rights to use it. Therefore, if Reuven does use it, I, the Gizbar, have not committed mi'ila. Right, remember again, Reuven wouldn't really commit mi'ila because Reuven doesn't know what's going on over here. I, the depositor, know that the money is hekdish. But because I deposited the money with Reuven in a way that Reuven can't use it because it's bundled, therefore, again, if Reuven does use it, that's illegal. He's not allowed to do that. Because he's not allowed to do that, I, the Gizbar, have not committed mi'ila. Im Musarin, however, again, if the money is loose, I deposit with Reuven loose hekdish money. So Yishtamish, Reuven has the right to use it. Because he has the right to use it, Lefichach, Im Hotziya Ma'al Gizbar. Therefore, Allah Chalabaisa, if Reuven does use it, I, the Gizbar, the temple treasurer, the depositor, have committed mi'ila. So more so one second. Vi amrit afilu nensu. But if you hold that halacha l'maisa, that Reuven is going to be chayiv even for ones, ma'ir yahotzi, then what does it matter if Reuven utilizes it? In other words, we'll say, according to Rav Huna, Reuven becomes a shoel the moment that loose money is deposited with him. If he's a shoel from the moment of deposit, then what? Then I, the Gizbar, should have committed mi'ila from the moment the money was given over. So my iria hotzi, afilu lo hotzi nami. Even if Reuven never spent the money, he should be chai for I, the Gizbar should be chai for mi'ila. Amarle, you're right. Tuadin afagav de lo hotzi. In reality, according to Rav Huna, if I, the Gizbar, deposit hektish money with Reuven, so ultimately, again, I commit mi'ila from the moment I deposit it because Reuven becomes a shoel on it from the moment I deposit it. Va'aydi de tana reisha hotzi, tana seifa nami hotzi. But rather to preserve the symmetry in the braisa, we just use the lashon of hotzi both ways. So good. So we'll say, so bottom line, halach lemaisa, what? How do we paskin? So first of all, again, I will say, the first case is obvious, right? The first case where I deposit money with Reuven, that is tsururin. And as we established, tsururin either means that it's tied with a unique knot, or literally, again, it's bundled and sealed. In that case, Reuven's not allowed to use the money. That's clear. What happens if I go ahead and I give him loose money? So I will say, so now what's the halacha? What's the halacha? So the Rambam writes as follows. The Rambam writes, if I give him enon chasumin velo kshurin, so I give Reuven loose money. So what's the halacha? Yesh lo lishtamesh bohen. Reuven has a right to use the money. Lefichach, im hu na'ase aleim shtrabosei. Now, one more qualification with this. When is Reuven permitted to use the money? When is that? right? When it's loose and what? There's another criteria over here. He's a shulchani, or the Rambam says a chenveni. The Rambam lumps the money changer and shopkeeper together. I will say, what's the logic? When I'm depositing money with such an individual, there's a recognition that these guys deal in cash all day. So therefore, again, if I'm giving him bundled money, okay, that shows that I don't want him to use it. But if I'm giving him loose money, it's understood that these people are going to use it. Again, they're going to be responsible to give it back to me at the end of the custodianship. But Allah says, I'm saying they're going to use it. So therefore, if I give loose money to a chenvini, to a shulchani, they have the right to use it. Here we go, Bosai. Lefichach. Hunasa aleim shomer sachar. So we'll say Rama Paskins, like Rav Nachman, that halacha lemaisa in these cases the chenvini and the shulchani is not considered to be a shoal, but rather again they are considered to be a shomer sachar. Vim avdu o nignivu chayev ba'achriyusan. And Rabbi said, I watch this. Therefore, if the money is lost, ultimately again they are chayev. However, now watch this. We're not finished yet. I'm skipping. When is that so? That the chenveni or a shulchani or a shomer sachar, kodim sheyishtamish bohem. Before they use the money. But once they use the money, ultimately again, they become a shoel. So we'll say, so bottom line, the Rambam Paskins like Rav Nachman, therefore Allah say deposit loose money with a chenveni or a shulchani, they are permitted to use it. Because they have the right of usage, therefore that right is a benefit. That benefit makes them a paid custodian. Shomer sachar. Once they actually use it, then they become a shoel, then they become a borrower. I will say enough community between a shomer sachar and a shoel is a shomer sachar is not chayiv for onsin, not chayiv for extenuating circumstances. Shoel will be incredible. Incredible. Let's go back there. Says the Mishnah, Sholeach yad pepikadon. I will say we actually referenced this sugi. We did a lot in the sugi already. So again, Aloha Maisa Sholeach yad pepikadon. I deposit something with Reuven for Reuven to watch. Reuven misappropriates it. So what's the halacha? So now the shayla is, what value? What value? Let's say for argument's sake, Reuven, the shomer, either uses up the whole thing or uses a part of it. But the shayla is, how do you assess the value of the object or part of the object that Reuven the shomer misappropriated? So it says, Mashaleach HaBibikot, Lebishamei Omrim Yilokeh, Bechaser ubi yaser. The halacha is ultimately again Reuven is chayiv. Chaser yaser means it went up in value, went down in value. Look at Rashi. Yilaka bechaser ubi yaser. Im chasru damel. Shabbos says. Let's say for argument's sake, I deposited with Reuven a barrel of wine, and Reuven consumed the barrel of wine. So the shaila now becomes, what does he have to pay me back? So the Gemara says, "Im chasu damei shehoz lo b'shok yishayim damei kamo shaisa shava b'shasha shalach b'yad shishas agzela." So Bishama says it depends. If the wine depreciated, so then ultimately again we lock in the value of the wine as it was at the time that Reuven stole it, right? V'chein kol agazlan b'shamin kishas agzela ukigon shotzia she'ina be'en aval im yeshna be'en kamo shagazla. So listen to this. So Beis Shammai says, on one hand, if halacha lemaisa, the value of the wine went down, then in that case, we'll go ahead and we'll make Reuven pay the value of the wine as it was at the time that he stole it. We lock him into the higher value. Or next, Rashi be yaser. Let's leave that. So that's Beis Shammai. Beis Hillel says, kishas hotsa. So we'll say, this is actually a very interesting lashon. Beis Hillel says, no, we make Reuven pay at the time that it was removed. Now Rashi already points out, B'gimar mafarish ma'ika amri. It's not immediately clear what Beis Hillel means. So I'm going to say, according to Beis Shammai, it's pretty clear. Beis Shammai says, we lock in the higher of one of two values. Either the value at the time that it was stolen, right? Or the value that it has right now, right? Whichever of those values are higher, then that's what we're going to assess damages at. Beis Hillel, b'shas hotzah, time was removed. We don't know what that means. And Rabbi Akiva Omer, b'shas hatviya. Rabbi Akiva says, we look at the value of the item at the time that I'm bringing Reuven to Beis Din. At the time that I lodge the claim, how much is the item worth? That's what it's going to get locked into. So the Gemara goes right to Amar Rabba. So Rabba says as follows, Hai man de gozol chavisa de chamra mechavre. So we'll see, this is an interesting case over here. So I go ahead and Reuven steals a barrel of wine from me. Okay, that's the case. Now what happens? Meikara shavya zuzah. At the time that Reuven stole it, it was worth one zuz. Hashta shavya arba. And now the barrel is worth four zuz. So we'll say, hear this? At the time of theft, it was worth a zuz. But now, what's now? What sounds like what now is, at the time that I'm suing Reuven and Beis Din, it's worth four zuz. So the obvious shayla is, what does Reuven have to pay? So the Gemara says, Tavra oshasya. So the Gemara says, well, let's analyze this. If Reuven broke the barrel, and therefore the wine is no longer in existence, oshasya. Or for that matter, he went ahead and he drank the wine, mishalim arba. So he has to pay the value of four zuz. So he has to pay the current appreciated value. It bar memeila, however, if the barrel broke by itself, mishalim zuza, then he only pays one zuz, which is what Rabbah say, the value at the time that it was stolen. All right, we have to analyze this a little bit. So the Gemara says, my timer. What's the logic? So let's work like this, right? So if Reuven consumed the wine or broke the barrel, then the halacha would be, and the wine was destroyed. So Rabbah said, just want to point out, consumption and breaking the barrel halachically are the same thing, right? Why? Because in both cases, the wine no longer exists, and it no longer exists because of Reuven's actions. So if the wine is no longer in existence because of Reuven's actions, the Gemara says, Reuven has to pay me back the appreciated value of the wine for Zuzim. My time, what's the reason? This is fascinating. Kevan di Isa hajalamare be'ene. So let's listen to this. Because had Reuven not done anything, we'll say in general, that what's the halacha? When you steal an object, and that object is extant. So what's the halacha? You give back the object, and what does the thief say to the owner of the object? Here it is. So if Reuven had not broken the barrel, or if Reuven had not gone ahead and consumed the wine, then he would have given me the barrel back as is, and I would have had an asset that was worth four zuz. So therefore, at the time that Reuven drank it or he broke the barrel, that's really considered to be the moment when he stole it. And what's the halacha? Utnan kala gazlanin mishalmin kishas hagzela. And what's the halacha? In general, a thief pays back the value of the item at the time that he stole it. So we'll say, this is actually very interesting. So therefore, if Reuven himself consumes it, or Reuven himself breaks the barrel, so theft took place at the time that he drank it, or the time that he consumed it. And had he not consumed it, had he not broken the barrel, he would have just given me back the wine. Right? That wine would have had a value of four zuz. Therefore, because he actively deprived me of the object that was four zuz, he's obligated to pay me four zuz, the appreciated value of the wine. On the other hand, it bar memela, so we'll say if the barrel broke on its own, mishalim zuzah, he only is paying back one zuz. My time, what's the reason? Hashtalo avid velo midi. Amai kai mechai v'slei ahi shaita, digzela, ahi shaita zuzah havashavya. So Rabbi said, so here's what's interesting. What's interesting is, it seems to be how we define the moment of theft, right? So Rabbi says, so if Reuven himself consumes the wine or actively breaks the barrel, the moment of theft is when he consumes it or breaks it. Why? Because up until that moment, if he wanted to return the stolen object to me, what would he do? He would take the barrel and give it back to me. Harei shalcha lefanecha. Therefore, the moment of theft is defined by the moment that he broke the barrel or consumed it. At that moment, the barrel was worth four zuz. That's why he has to pay me the appreciated amount. In a case where the barrel breaks on its own, so we'll say, it turns out that when was the moment of theft? He didn't break it. So because the moment of theft, therefore, is the moment that he took it from me. The moment that he took it from me, how much was it worth? One zuz. So we'll say, just fascinating. Whereas distinguishing how the moment of theft is the moment I no longer have it. In the case where it breaks on its own, where Reuven didn't do that, the moment of theft is where he took it from me. And I will say, everyone is agreeing, the value of the stolen item is locked in at the time of theft. So in the case where the barrel broke on its own, it turns out that retroactively, the moment of theft was when he took it from me. When he consumes it or he breaks the barrel, the moment of theft is dafka when he consumes it or breaks the barrel, and its value is four zuz. So fascinating. Okay, so we'll say, so that's the first thing. That's the Rabbah. So tnan, beisila omrim kishas hotza. So let's say, so now let's go back for just a moment. So remember, again, let's say Beis Shammai is pretty clear, right? Beis Shammai is always the higher of one of two values, right? Either the time that you stole it, or the time ultimately, again, that you're being brought to din. Beis Hillel says, Kishas Hotzah, the time that it was removed. So the Gemara says, what does that mean? My Kishas Hotzah. Ilema Kishas Hotzah Mina Olam. So I'll say, if you want to say we're talking about, the Beis Hillel says like this. We look at the value of the item at the time that it was removed from the world, i.e. destroyed. Destroyed. So the Gemara says, Ubenai. So what are we talking about? Ibechaser. So we'll say, if we're talking about a situation where the wine depreciated, went down in value, so mi ikalaman damar, lavahatnan, kala gizlan mishalim kishasa gzela. So we'll say, so remember again, if halokalamayis, we're talking about a situation where the value of wine went down, then everyone is going to agree that Reuven has to pay me back in accordance with the value of the wine when it was stolen. Right? There's no way I, the owner, should suffer a loss. V'ibiyasar, and if we're talking about a situation where the value of the wine went up, hainu Beis Shammai, then ultimately Beis Hillel is agreeing with Beis Shammai. So what's going on over here? We'll say, amud beis, mem yom beis, ela, pshita, kishas hotza mi beis bailim. Oh. So we'll say, rather, it must be, that what Beis Hillel is saying is, value of the item is locked in at the time that the object is removed from the owner's home, i.e. literally, Kishas Akzela. Look at Rashi, Tap Rashi 43b. Zingar said, Elab Shita, Kishas, Hotsami Beisbailim, Kishas Kakzela, the moment it was stolen. So we'll say, so whereas Beis Shammai has this higher value when it was stolen with Din, Beis Hillel says, the value of the item is locked in at the moment that it's taken from the owner's home. The moment of theft. The moment of theft, locked in. So Kishas HaGzela, Ubiyeser Pligi, Tekamar Beis Shammai, Em Hokra Yiloke, L'Shalim Kishas HaTzah, Mina Olam, Ubeis Hillel Olam Kishas HaTzah, Mibeis HaTzah. I will say that's the Machlokes. The Machlokes is, Beis Shammai says, that if the item appreciates, I'm not saying it had an appreciated value at the time of consumption, then according to Beis Shammai, the thief will have to pay the appreciated value. Whereas according to Beis Hillel, the value of the stolen item is always locked in at the moment that it is stolen. That's it. So right now, the Gemara's understanding, Bishas Hotzal, when Beis Hillel says, we evaluate the item at the time that it's taken out. Taken out means taken out from the house of the owner. Lema Rabba Damar. So now, here's what we have. Watch what we have over here. Right? We've got Beis Shammai, who says that pretty much we just look at the highest value of the item, either at the time it's stolen or at the time you're brought to Beis Din. Whichever of the two, Beis Hillel, value of the item is determined ultimately again at the time it was stolen, taken out of the owner's home. So we'll say, what's the problem? Then we just had Rabbah. We just had Rabbah, right? And Rabbah had this interesting idea that how do you determine value? How do you determine value? It depends what the status of the wine is. So according to Rabbi, you have three possibilities. Possibility one is the barrel that was stolen is fully in existence. What happens if the barrel is in existence? What do you do then? What do you do? Harei shachal lefanecha, Reuven gives the barrel back to me. Value is not an issue. Value is not an issue because the object that is stolen is given back. That's possibility one. Possibility two is that Reuven consumed the wine or actively broke the barrel. What's the halacha there? Value of the barrel at the time that it was consumed or broken. Possibility number three is Reuven stole it. The barrel broke on its own, so to speak. Hore ones, what's the halacha? Reuven pays the value from the time that it was stolen. So we'll say, the shayla is, how do you fit Rabbah into the machlokas of Beis Shammai Beis Hillel? So here we go. So we'll say, second line, 43b. Lema Rabbah tamar ki Beis Shammai. So we'll say, so I guess Rabbah holds like Beis Shammai, right? Because Rabbah also has these relative valuations. Amr l'cha, Rabbah will say, no. The yeser, if the wine appreciates, kuli alma lo pligi. Right? Ultimately, again, everyone agrees, so we'll say that you have to pay the appreciated value. So keep pligi, we'll say, where is the machlokis? Bechosar. The machlokis ultimately is when the item depreciates. So how so? Beis Shammai sabri shlichos yad enen tzri chisar. So we'll say, this reminisces back to what we had 2 days ago. So we'll say, this goes back to a machlokis, ultimately, again, in misappropriation. How does misappropriation require diminution or not? So Beis Shammai Sabri, Shlichus Yad Eina Tzricha Chisaron Kis. Beis Shammai says misappropriation does not require any type of diminution, and therefore, V'chi Chaser, therefore I will say, because of that, The moment that Reuven does, now remember again, we saw, obviously you have to do something to have shlichus yad. So let's say Reuven moves the barrel, you know, from the agreed upon spot to his spot. So what happens? The moment he does that, it's shlichus yad. Reuven acquires the object, and therefore aloch l'maisa, the chi chaser, when it diminishes in value, birshusa didei chaser. The diminution in value, Rabbi Yosef, takes place where? Takes place where? In Reuven's rishus. Right? Therefore, he has to bear that loss. On the other hand, Beis Hillel says that misappropriation does require diminution, and therefore, therefore, we'll say in the case where Reuven moved the barrel from his domain, from where we agreed upon to his domain, so ultimately, again, but has not yet siphoned off any of the wine, the wine is considered to still be in my rishos. Therefore, therefore, we'll say ultimately, again, when it diminishes, they will say, in whose house does it diminish? Or in whose rishos does it diminish? In the owners. In the owners. Ela hada amarava, shlichos yad ina tzricha chisarn. Rav will say, that's what Rava said then in general. Misappropriation does not require diminution. Lema Rava damarki beishamai. So we'll say, does that mean Rava is only setting up his position like beishamai? That would be strange, because Beis Hillel is normally the dominant opinion. Ela hachamai askinon. Rather, Rav will say, what's the case over here? Very interesting. Kegon, shetiltala lahavi ala gozlos. Rabbi say, what's the case over here? I deposited the barrel of wine with Reuven, and then Rabbi say, what did Reuven do? Reuven took the barrel, tilted right, and moved it. Why? To use it as a ladder. Rabbi say, that is Shol Shalomidas. Reuven is borrowing this object without the knowledge or the consent of the owner. Oh, so Rabbi say, so now it's a machlok, it's Shol Shalomidas. Here we go. Beishamai Savi Shol Shalomidas, Gazlan Havi, Beishamai holds that borrowing something without the knowledge of the owner, that is theft. Because it's theft, therefore, Rabbi say, Reuven acquires the barrel. In other words, we saw this already, Baba Kamo, that a thief acquires things to a certain degree. Therefore, when it diminishes in value, v'chi chaser, didei chaser. Therefore, also, when there's a diminution of value, who bears that loss? Reuven, because again, he's a shol shalomidas. As a shol shalomidas, he's a gazlan. As a gazlan, he's, so to speak, acquired the item. Because he's acquired it, when it diminishes in value, he, Reuven, the thief, bears that loss, and he has to pay me back the elevated previous value. Well, Beis Hillel says, no. Shol shalomidas, shol havi. Beis Hillel says, no. We'll say, when you borrow something without the knowledge of the owner, that doesn't make you a thief. What does it make you? It makes you a borrower. A shol. Therefore, v'chi chaser, b'r'shusei demara chaser. Therefore, I will say again, he's not a thief. Because he's not a thief, he doesn't acquire it. Because he doesn't acquire it, he's a shoal. Because he's a shoal, ultimately, any diminution of value, ultimately, again, becomes the property of, I should say, the diminution of value is borne by the owner of the wine. Okay. V'chi chaser, b'r'shusei demara chaser. Elo hadam rava. But that's what Rava said, shol shlomidas. I will say that a shol shalomidas, if someone borrows something without the consent of the owner, so the Gemara says, gazlan habi. So the Gemara says, that Rava says that he's a gazlan. Lema Rava da'amar ki beishamai. So we'll say, we've seen that Rava aligns himself with beishamai. So we'll say again, we're bothered by that idea that Rava would simply fully and wholly align himself with beishamai. After all, again, generally Beis Hillel is the majority opinion. Alacha, here we go. B'shevach shel gezela kamiflagi. So Rava say here, what are they arguing about? They're arguing about appreciation in a stolen object. What happens to appreciation in a stolen object? The Gemara says, "Ubeis Hillel Savri Shevach Gezela De Gazlan Havi." Is this your? I'm sorry. Beis Shammai Savri Shevach Gezela De Nigzal Havi. Beis Shammai holds that Halacha LeMaisa appreciation in a stolen object belongs to the thief. Right? Now, we'll say, by the way, as crazy as that sounds, it's not so crazy. Why? Because a thief acquires something. We've seen this before. I was supposed to say, the first time we saw this in Baba Kama, it was shocking to the system, right? That a thief should acquire, right? I just want to point out, this means that a thief could potentially financially benefit, right? Again, he could potentially benefit. So Beis Shammai holds that the appreciation of a stolen item goes to the thief. Beis Hillel Savri, Shevach Gezela de Gazlan Havi. Beis Hillel holds, no, that Halacha Lamaisa, appreciation of a stolen object belongs to, but I'm sorry, Beis Shammai Savri, Shevach Gzela Dinigzal Havi. I'm reading it wrong, right? Beis Shammai holds that appreciation ultimately, again, of a stolen object belongs to the owner of the object. Beis Hillel holds, Shevach Gzela Digazlan Havi. Beis Hillel, on the other hand, holds that the appreciation of the stolen object ultimately goes to the gazlan. So we'll say, now watch this. And I will say, this is the same machlokis as we saw by the other machlokis turn. Saying, here we go. Hagozel as harachal, the gazes of the yolda. So this is an interesting case. I steal a sheep. And I will say, while I have that sheep in my possession, what do? I shear it. And Kinayin Ahara gives birth to offspring. Shabbat says, so now, Mishalim Osa, Veskiz Osa, Vesav Ladosa Derameir. When I return that stolen sheep, I will say, part of returning the sheep is what? Everything. The shearing, the offspring, everything. That's Rabbi Meir. Rabbi Huda says, no, Gazela Choseres Beine. It's incredible. Rabbi Huda holds that no, you stole a sheep, you return a sheep. Any shearings or any offspring, the thief is permitted to keep. So the Gemara says, Rabbi, it's the same machlokes as Shammai Silo. So Dekanani Diktani, Beishamai Omrim Yulake Bechasra Biyaser. Beishamai says, literally again, we make the thief, literally we strike the thief, whether it diminishes or it goes up, based with the higher value. Beisila Omrim Kishas Hotsa'a Shmamino. And Beisila holds ultimately again that we make the thief pay like Shas Hotsa'a. Literally, again, at the time that it was destroyed, at the time that it was removed. Okay, so I will say. So bottom line, halacha lemaisa. So how do we paskin? So essentially, it seems like we emerge with three different opinions. We have Rabba, and we have Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel. So I will say, halacha lemaisa, how do we paskin in this case? So I will say, so here we go. Just quickly, in the last couple of minutes that we have together. So the Rambam paskins, and Hilchos Gzela Vaveda. He says as follows, Hagozel Chavis Shalyai Michamer. And I will say, so I just want to point out what's happening over here. We're looking now here, the way this case is framed for us is as a case of a deposit, a pikadon, that then the shomer misappropriated. So I'm reading to you the halacha in a case of theft, but it's really the same, because the shomer who misappropriates is a thief. So here we go, quickly. I steal a barrel of wine from Reuven. At the time that I stole it, it was worth a dinar. And now Rabbo said that I have it, it's worth 4 dinarim. So watch this. So essentially the halacha is like this. The halacha is like this. We pass like Rabbah. That if Rabosai, if Halach Lamaisa, I did something, either I consumed the wine, I broke the barrel, I sold it, I gave it away as a gift, I am chayiv to pay Reuven back for Zuz, the appreciated value. Why? And Rabosai, what's the logic? The logic is because had I not done those things, I could have what? Just given back the barrel to Reuven, and Reuven would have had an asset of 4 Zuz. So because of that, I effectively deprived him of 4 Zuz, therefore Halach Lamaisa, I pay him back 4 Zuz. However, Nishpura Me'eleho, Avda, but if the barrel broke on its own or it was lost, then what's the halacha? Mishalim dinar kishas agzela. Then I will say, in that case, value is locked in at the time of theft, and I only have to go ahead and pay 1 Zuz. And I will say, what about in the case of depreciation? So remember again, I will say, in depreciation, we always are locked in at the higher value at the time of theft. So halacha is, if it depreciates, thief always pays appreciated value at the time of theft. If ultimately, again, it depreciates, it depends. If the thief actively consumed it, he pays the higher value. If he didn't actively consume it, but rather, again, something happened to it, he pays the lower value as locked in at the time of theft. All right, Chevron Zoom, have a wonderful day, everyone.